Mark chapter 16. All right, quick recap since tonight's our last night. Let's start back real quick and remind me, what is the journey that we've gone through to get up to this point so far? Who have we been following? Whose life?
Jesus.
And what are some of the awesome things we've seen Jesus accomplish during his short life on earth? Yeah. What else? Yep. Anything else? More? Healing crippled people. Yeah. Casting demons into pigs. Lazarus, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised a bunch of people from the dead, right? Well, not yet, but we're about to see. You are smart, my friend. Tonight we will see the coolest thing that Jesus does. Any other awesome stuff, though, before we get to tonight's passage?
Turning water into wine.
Anything else? Anything with fish and bread? Do anything with that? The 4,000 and the 5,000. Yeah, he fed twice. He does it. What about nature? Did he have any control over nature at all? Calms the incredible storm while they're out on the boat. Yeah, it just tells it to be quiet, and it's quiet. It's awesome. Yep, he did that. Yeah. Yeah, he made Peter able to walk on the water through his faith. That was awesome. Anything else? He's done a lot of cool stuff, hasn't he? Like, you probably haven't heard of someone who's done any of those things other than Jesus. And if you had, you probably can't really prove it. So it's really neat to look at Jesus' life and just see that his entire ministry is just full, in just a couple years, full of things that are just like, whoa, just leave us absolutely breathless. And so tonight we get to the coolest part of what Jesus has done. Not only the coolest part just because it's cool, the most important part of what Jesus has done. And so tonight we're in Mark chapter 16, verses 9. You guys have your Bibles? Pop there real quick and look. If not, it's on the screen. Mark 16, verse 9. And as you're opening there, tonight's passage kind of reminded me of a story the other night. Well, actually, it wasn't the other night. It was a while ago. I was up here and I was chilling with somebody. And I always have conversations by the back door by that trash can for some reason. Like, as people are leaving, they stop me and it just turns into like a conversation corner. So I was sitting there, I'm talking, I'm really into this conversation, and somebody else is next to me, and there was some food like on that like bar top right there, and they were kind of like getting some food. And they were doing something at the same time that they needed me to hold their plate of food. And so I'm talking over here and they're kind of talking to me like, hey, and I'm not really listening. I'm trying to focus. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, can you just do me a favor? Could you hold this food real quick? Hold my plate because I need to get this. And so I was like, yeah, sure. No problem. So I take their food and I keep talking. I open the trash can and I toss all their food right in the trash can. I was like, what? And so I didn't even know what I was doing. I just kept talking and they look at me and they're like, the key word was hold my food, you know, like not throw it in the trash can. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I felt like the biggest jerk because I was like not really paying attention, but I just kind of did it out of like not thinking, you know. But it was cool. That phrase that they said to me stuck in my mind as I was preparing for this message. It was almost a very similar situation here where they looked at me and was like, hey, the key word is hold. Like, how are you going to hold my food if you don't hold it? You know what I'm saying? Like, throwing it away is not the same as holding, right? You should be able to get that. And as Jesus is going through his ministry, he keeps telling us one thing he wants us to do over and over and over. Like, constantly, the same message. This one message. And this message is a mission. It's one mission. Okay? And it's basically the one thing he's asked us. But for some reason, when we get to this passage tonight, we see a group of people who have been with Jesus the whole time and have heard this one message over and over and over and over again, but they're acting like me at that trash can, and they're missing the key word. They're completely missing the point of the mission, the point of the message. The way it's possible is to listen to that key word, right? You can't do them the favor if you're throwing their food in the trash. You got to know what it is they asked of you. And so we're going to see tonight what Jesus is actually asking of us if we want to live a gospel life. Because we've been talking about it a lot and we've been seeing what it is. But how do you actually do it? Like, what's that key ingredient? What's that key word that helps us live this thing we keep calling gospel life? So here we go. Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20. This is the end of Mark, all right? Here we go. It says in verse 9, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But they, when they heard that he was alive, listen what they do, and had seen, been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told all the rest, but, listen to this, they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves. Why only 11? Judas has killed himself by now, right? Because he had betrayed Jesus in the garden. So there's 11 left. So he goes right to the 11 as they were reclining at table. They were eating dinner. And he rebuked them for their unbelief. They're not believing. And hardness of heart. Because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, get this part, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Now, I need you to remind me of a word that we keep repeating because it's the thing that Jesus has kept trying to establish throughout his whole ministry. Every time he does a miracle, every time he does something incredible or casts out a demon or teaches, we keep coming up with this word. Do you guys remember what the word is that we keep saying? No, it's a good guess. It starts with an A. Authority. What does authority mean? We keep talking about it. Let's make sure we know what it means. Who can tell us what authority means? If you're driving down the road and you're breaking the speed limit and you see a police officer, what is, probably you guys aren't driving yet, but let's say you're watching mom drive and she's breaking the speed limit a little bit and a cop is like parked there. What does mom do? Slow way down, right? Right? Why? Because he's got authority to do what? Arrest her. To arrest her. There's some authority there. What does authority mean?
Power over someone else.
Yeah, control or power over something. Jesus is showing that he has the control, the authority, the power over what? Everything. There's nothing bigger than Jesus. There's nothing better than Jesus. And he has all of the power, all of the control, and all of this word we keep talking about. Authority. And so here we go. His whole life has just finished. His whole ministry. He's established his authority. And the very last thing he does before he leaves earth is that last nail in the coffin. The greatest act of authority that Jesus could show. His resurrection. Because not even death could beat Jesus. How many of y'all are just going to live forever? You're never going to die. Anybody? No? We're all going to die, right? Eventually, hopefully like 80 or 90 years from now. Unless Jesus comes back first and takes us to heaven, right? We're all going to die a physical death. We don't control that. Any of you guys able to control that? You're just like, no, I'm not going to die. No, we're all going to. We got to face it. Everybody does, but not Jesus. Jesus has the power even over something we're totally powerless to. The thing that probably scares us the most, right? If we think about it, death. Jesus has authority even over death as he rose again. And so, I want to show you real quick because a parallel passage, another gospel that says the same thing in just a slightly different way, has a cool little aspect in it that I want to show you. Matthew 28. It's this same passage in Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and said to them, somebody read those next two words for me. All authority. Thank you. All authority. How much is that? A little bit? A piece? A couple little pieces? If it were a pizza, how many slices would it be? The whole thing! All authority! There's none that's not his. He is completely and totally in control of everything. He has power over everything. And at this point that he just conquered death because he came back from the grave and said, here I am. He's able to declare his great statement of his whole life. The thing he came to show. I'm the king of everything. all authority. There's no king above me. There's no president. Nobody. I'm it. All authority in heaven and on earth. Not just here, but in heaven too. Jesus rules not just our universe, but anything ever in existence. He is the greatest of all things that could ever exist. Jesus is it. And he's able to declare it here. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I finished it. I've done the work I came to do. Woo! He did it. You know, that's awesome. Okay, so let's look into the passage we're at tonight. We're in chapter back in Mark, okay, 16, verse 9. Let's start at the beginning to see what's actually happening here during the resurrection, because it's awesome. All right, verse 9 says, "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." Who's that? Have we heard her name before? We have. Let me just give you a clue. We have. Do you remember what we said about Mary Magdalene? Where was she last time we saw her? By the tomb, right? She saw, yeah, okay. So this woman goes to the tomb, and what did she find different about this tomb this time that she went? It's empty, and who's there? An angel. A dude in white robe, right? A couple guys. Angels are there, and what are the angels telling her? He's not there. Why? Why is he not there? Drinking coffee somewhere else? What's he doing? He rose again from the dead. He's not here. Why are you looking in a tomb for somebody who's alive? Do you usually go look for living people inside graves? No, right? They usually don't stay in graves. Why are you looking for someone who's alive in a tomb? And then he tells them to do something really awesome. What is it? Tell Peter and all the disciples. Go tell people what? What's the message they had to tell? He's alive! That's awesome. They were the first people to be told to share the gospel, because you know when you tell people that Jesus is alive, that's sharing the gospel. Because gospel means good news. And isn't it awesome news that Jesus, the only one who can save you, is really alive? Because that means you can be saved. Without him, you can't. So it's really, really good news. Sorry for spitting on you. New person, I'm sorry. I spit a lot, just in case you don't know. So this Mary Magdalene, who's awesome, she's there, okay? He appears first to her. Now, it says something about her. Do you see that right there? What does it say about Mary Magdalene? What had Jesus done for her? How many?
Seven
demons from this lady. He cast out. Jesus has done an awesome work in Mary Magdalene's life. Can you imagine what she was like? You think she was like a great person to be around when she had seven demons? Do you think her life was awesome? She was like living it up? It must have been miserable. All of a sudden, Jesus comes along and does some awesome miracle in her and heals her from these demons. He gives her her life back where it had been stolen from her. This is called a testimony. You guys know what a testimony is?
Yeah?
Can you tell us what a testimony is?
It's like when you've been saved, or it's kind of, it's your Jesus story. Like, kind of how you got saved.
Yeah, what you were like before, right? Yeah. Look at what I used to be. You know, I was broken. I had seven demons. I was whatever her story was. My life was miserable. And all of a sudden, Jesus came along and healed me and gave me my life back. And now this is who I am today because I have hope and I have Jesus and I know I'm saved. Each of you guys, if you've accepted Jesus, have this testimony we're talking about. What an incredible testimony she had, right? I doubt there's anyone in the room that's had seven demons cast out of you. I don't know. Maybe you have, but I doubt it. And that might not be like something you can be like, oh, I could compare myself to that. But guess what? You could still, Pastor Titus was saying this last Sunday and Sunday morning, you could still think about what you might be if Jesus hadn't done anything for you. You picture like, what might I become? Would I become someone like her if Jesus hadn't come into my life and changed me and affected me? Where would I be right now if I didn't have Jesus? What could I be doing? And so it's an awesome thing that Jesus has done this, given you a testimony and made you his child. And so I encourage you guys, if you don't know what your testimony is, think about it. Pray to God and ask him, Lord, show me what I would be today or what I used to be. Show me the change. So when people ask me, I could be like Mary Magdalene and I could go share that. Look what Jesus has done for me. So that you could share this good news with people about his resurrection, okay? So we see Mary Magdalene. She sees him, all right? She's amazed. And then she's told to do something. She's told to go tell people, and look what she does. Verse 10, she went and told those who had been with him. These were people that had been like walking with Jesus, seeing things that he was doing. She went to tell them, okay? Look what they were doing when she got there. You see that? Can you read between those commas there? What does it say? As they mourned and wept, what were they doing? They're crying. They just lost someone they loved dearly. Jesus had just been put on a cross and crucified, and they watched him be beaten. They had to literally watch this guy that they loved, this friend that they dearly cared about. They had to watch him be tortured. They had to watch him be put to death. And they watched as he was put into a tomb, dead. And so they're sitting there thinking he's still in that tomb, remembering the horrors that they had seen their friend go through, and they're crying their eyes out. They're weeping over him. They're mourning his death. And she gets there and she's like, hey, guess what I just saw? You're not going to believe it. This is incredible. And they're crying, right? They're in the middle of crying when she gets there. And she tells them. But when they heard, verse 11 says this, but when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, look at this next phrase. It's really sad. They wouldn't believe it. They didn't believe it. We're starting to see a pattern here. We're starting to see that key word pop in about a gospel life. If you really want to have a gospel life, the key word is to do, and we're about to see something here as we see this pattern form, but they wouldn't believe. Isn't it crazy that sometimes people that love Jesus the most can have such a hard time believing in his power? Sometimes people that really follow after him and love him and spend time with him can still be the same people that have a hard time believing in his gospel and the power of it. I pray over you guys as you're just starting off in church and you're starting off your lives, that you become adults that don't end up in this category where you just kind of go to church and you follow Jesus and you love Jesus, but you'll never take that step of faith out to truly follow Jesus. To believe in the power of his gospel no matter what that means, and to follow him because he has all of the authority and deserves your praise, okay? And so we see that about these people. Look at verse 12. All of a sudden, Jesus leaves there, and it says, after these things, he appeared in another form. He goes somewhere else. He appears to two other of them, it says, as they were walking in the country. So these two disciples are just out. They're walking through the woods. They're off doing whatever, who knows what. It doesn't say. But as they're just walking in the middle of nowhere, boom, Jesus pops up. Whoa, like we just saw you on the cross and then die and get stuck in a tomb. What's going on? Like, how is this happening? And so they're amazed by it. And look what happens. They went back and they told the rest, the other disciples. What do they do when they hear it? They did not believe them. The very disciples. Like, of all people, the disciples don't believe the very gospel. Whoa, does that strike anybody as a little weird? You know, like the Bible talks about the disciples all the time sharing the gospel, and here the gospel itself in one of its first forms is shared to them, and guess what? They didn't believe it. The guys that watched him do the miracles, watched him do the signs, watched him die, these same disciples didn't believe the gospel when it was given to them. Whew, I'm seeing a pattern. Anyone kind of figure out what the key word here now is to a gospel life? What do you got to do? Believe. The key word is believe. You can't live a gospel life unless you believe in the power of Jesus' resurrection. Believe that he really has all the authority. The resurrection is everything. The fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you. You can't just say it in a prayer. You can't just talk about it in a Bible study. You need to believe it with all your heart. And so it says that they didn't believe these guys when they told them what had happened. Look at verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves. All right. First, he just showed himself to that lady, and then he shows himself to two of the disciples. Nobody's believing at this point except for the ones who actually saw. So guess what he does? He shows up right to the disciples themselves. Are you going to say that?
I was going to say, watch out.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks. You got my back. I didn't want to fall. He shows up right to the disciples, the 11 themselves. And look what they were doing. They were just eating dinner. They're reclining back at their table, sitting on probably like their little cushions they got sitting out, you know. That's how they ate back then. Just sat on cushions and the food was like sitting on the floor, kind of on these like cloth things. And they were just sitting around eating, reclining. And so it says as Jesus' disciples were doing that, it shows up to them personally. And look what he does. He rebuked them. That means he scolded them. Like, have you ever had your mom give you a good scolding? I'm talking about, give you a good talking to when you do something wrong. Mom like gets on you like, darn. All right, Jesus is there and he's scolding them. It probably wasn't a good thing to have Jesus be the one to call you out over something. Jesus himself, you didn't believe that I had risen again, but look at me, I'm standing right in front of you. I told you this was going to happen. I prophesied this. You saw that I had authority. You saw that everything I said came true, but this you didn't believe, and so I actually have to show myself right here in this room as you're eating that bread. Here I am. I wonder if they reminded, like, got reminded of the Last Supper. Remember when we did that? We sat around, we did like the Lord's Supper, and we did the bread and the juice. I wonder if they remembered the message of that Last Supper. As they're sitting there eating supper, and Jesus shows up in the aftermath, like, and he's pointing to the broken body, you know? And he's reminding of the blood he spilled on the cross, and they're eating, and they're like, oh. And it just connects, you know, like, now I remember. Now I get why you told us that last time we ate with you. And here you are. You died for me. Oh, wow. And they hadn't believed, so Jesus himself actually scolds them. And it says, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. So there's that key word again. We've got to believe. Because they had not believed, there it is again, just in case you didn't get it the other time, they want to tell you again, they hadn't believed those who saw him after he had risen. And then look at verse 15. This is what Jesus says after he scolds them. Here's the mission. And he said to them, go into all the world. Well, stop right there for a second, because I feel like that's a pretty big statement. You know, like, go where? Where are we supposed to go? What's Jesus saying?
Everywhere.
Where's all the world?
Everywhere.
Everywhere? Define everywhere for me.
Every single place on the earth.
Every single place on the earth? Does this not sound like a huge, huge thing to have to do? Are you going to be able to go everywhere on this entire globe and talk to every single person that exists about the gospel? I like your attitude. I like it. Because that's exactly the attitude that Jesus is trying to get across to us. Now, you probably won't get to every person on the face of the planet. And I don't think Jesus was literally telling us that you personally had to go talk to every human being. I don't even think it's physically possible to do that. Not by ourselves. I really like your attitude now. But with the power of God, you can, right? Oh, we get an evangelist in the room. All right. You're getting me distracted, though, because you get me all. But guess what all these disciples can do is they start to lead other people to Jesus. And then guess what those people can help do? And then guess what those people can help do? You know what that's called as people accept Jesus and come together to worship him? What's that called?
Church.
And so as these churches start getting planted and the people of God, the church of Jesus starts to go out into the world, the church together, the body of Christ, is reaching the whole world. But here's the key in that, is that we all play a really, really important role in that church as part of that body. We need to be doing the mission. We need to be about this mission, this message he left to us, telling people they need to believe in the resurrection. And you can't do that without believing yourself. The key word is believe. And then once you do, you're called to go to the whole world. Have you ever seen Pinky and the Brain? Has anyone ever seen that cartoon? It's old. I know it's really old, but it's like the greatest.
I know, right?
Do you know the part? You're the only one in here that knows, so I'll talk to you about it, I guess. You know it, right? You don't know it? I should have showed the video. Pinky and the brain. The pinky and the brain. It's like a little, they're mice.
Yeah,
and they're trying to take over the world, right? And he goes, hey, what are we going to do today, brain? And he's like, try to take over the world. Ha ha ha. And then he laughs like in this cool way. No. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, Pinky's really dumb and brain's really smart. And they try to take over the entire world. And they're like, that's impossible. How are we going to do that? But they try every single day, every single episode. They try to take the world over. Look, Jesus isn't telling you to go conquer the world, but what he is telling you to do is have the mentality that my God is big enough and has all the authority to be able to bring the gospel to every single person on this planet, and I want to be a part of it. I want to do my part in the body of Christ in this church to tell my friends. I guarantee if you guys stop right now, breathe for a second and think, you're going to come up with a couple people in your life that the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you need to share the gospel with them. Right now, he's probably bringing to mind, reminding you in your little head, of some people that don't know Jesus. Some people that you have really, really, they have this awesome ability and opportunity to be able to share because you might see them every day. You might sit next to them in class, I don't know. You might eat with them at lunch or play a sport with them on the field or the court. Are you listening to Jesus? Have you missed the key word? You know, are you throwing somebody's food away when they ask you to hold it? Are you not believing when you're told to believe in the authority of Jesus and obeying in the mission? Hey, I'm going to go share. Some of us are like, hey, this stuff you guys talk about at church, like evangelism and missions and all this, what is all that stuff? I think we see a beautiful picture of what it is tonight in this passage. My friend, my best friend, died, but he came back to life. And I got to tell you about it. Because it changed my whole life. And just like Mary Magdalene, you take your testimony. This is what I would be without him. And guess what I am today? I know I'm going to heaven. And you share that. You share that with people that have no idea who Jesus is. So as you sit there tonight, and you're thinking, I want you to think for me. Don't just goof off. I want you to think as you're sitting there. Try to come up with at least one person. At least one person. And as you're sitting, once you get them in your head, I want you to say a quick prayer to God. It's right where you're at. I want you to pray that God burden your heart and give you an opportunity to share this awesome news with that person. Pray, God, within the next week, let me have an opportunity to see them, to talk to them, and to be able to share this good news. I hope you guys do that. I hope you really do have God answer that prayer and he shows you that person and that you're bold, like you're courageous, because sometimes it's scary, I know. But this is the best news we could ever tell anybody. There's no better news than this. Even winning the lottery isn't this good, because what you're hearing here is, yeah, you could have $1 million or $400 million for what? Next 60, 70 years till you die. Or you can live forever. Like, which one's better? It's pretty awesome. I get excited about it and yell, and you look at me like I'm weird. It's okay. They'll look at you like you're weird too if you really believe it, because it's awesome. I hope you guys get just how awesome this gospel is. It's worth getting excited about, because there's no better news, right? Will you pray with me? Father, we love you. God, you made this whole plan for us. This whole thing is to show your authority, that you really are king and you deserve our praise. And Lord, we want to praise you because you did an awesome job. You did what you didn't have to do. Jesus, you died for us, but then you rose again. And we believe, God, in your resurrection, that you truly are the Son of God. Give us the courage and the passion to share that with everybody that we see in this whole world, God, that we be people that are constantly talking about this awesome news. And like these people in this passage, that we run to do it. We don't drag our feet, but we're so excited, we run to the people that need to hear, and we tell them. We love you, Jesus. It's your name we pray. Amen.